Bycatch, or species accidentally caught while targeting a different fish, has been a hot-button issue in Alaska for decades. But it rose to the forefront last year when Alaska Native organizations and fishing groups called for dramatic reductions to halibut, crab, and salmon bycatch at federal fisheries meetings. On the Yukon and Kuskokwim rivers, subsistence and small commercial salmon fisheries were severely curtailed or completely shuttered last year. The same year, federal data show trawlers in the Bering Sea scooped up more than 500,000 chum, pink, and silver salmon, and almost 14,000 king salmon. In the Gulf of Alaska, groundfish harvesters caught more than 17,000 king salmon as bycatch. That fish can't be sold, although some of the bycatch is donated. For more than a decade, commercial and subsistence fishermen in western Alaska have felt the impacts of declining salmon runs and didn't have a task force to address the problem.
This should have happened a long time ago.
During a recent tribal listening session with the National Marine Fisheries Service, John Lamont from Lamont Slough on the lower Yukon River told federal fisheries managers that he supports the idea of an Alaska bycatch task force and called on the federal government to follow suit.
I'm not really sure if the federal government is establishing a bycatch committee yet, or to discuss these same issues that are being brought up today by all users, all stakeholders in Alaska, whether it be out in southeast, the Aleutians, or up north, beside AYK. The impact of no fishing, no nets in the water this past summer, has really opened the eyes, I think, of politicians, of managers, of tribal leaders.
The state's task force will study the impacts of bycatch on what it calls high-value state fisheries. The administrative order establishing the force doesn't specify what it means by high value. Monetarily, that would include the state's salmon and crab fisheries. The order doesn't mention subsistence interests, but does designate a spot for a sport or personal use representative. That seat was assigned to a former head of ADF&G's sport fish division. The task force will also make recommendations and advise state and federal agencies on how to address bycatch, though there isn't much data on bycatch in state-managed fisheries. It's also tasked with working to inform policymakers and the public about how bycatch affects Alaska's fisheries. The force will be chaired by Petersburg crab and halibut fisherman John Jensen. Jensen also sits on the Alaska Board of Fisheries, which sets most of the rules for fishing in state waters. Dunleavy's 11 appointees cover a range of interests, though only one currently resides in one of the native communities where bycatch has arguably affected subsistence the most. The seat on the task force reserved for Alaska Native interests was given to a non-native consultant, who represents two Alaska Native corporations, and that's led to some criticism.
Looking at the composition of the task force, I don't feel that the tribal representation is really there.
Brooke Woods is the executive chair of the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission, a nonprofit representing 30 tribes along the Yukon River that advocates for tribal fishing rights and the protection and restoration of Yukon River salmon. She says she's skeptical that listening sessions or task forces will make the change that organizations like the commission are asking for.
I honestly didn't even encourage any tribal members to take on yet another voluntary position to make change for themselves, their families, and their communities, because it's just not fair. You know, you have non-natives in career positions that are supposed to be doing the work of subsistence, but there's no accountability. So it's just hard, you know, these career-minded folks making an income with no accountability to subsistence management or policy, and then asking, you know, an Alaska Native to volunteer.
The seat reserved for an Alaska Native organization will be filled by Duncan Fields, a Kodiak resident and former state house candidate who has also served on the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. He says he's not Alaska Native, but works closely with Native and tribal organizations.
I didn't make the determination whether I was an adequate representative or not. The governor's office did that. And I appreciate that they thought that I was qualified.
He's been recognized for his work by the Alaska Federation of Natives, which gave him the Denali Award in 2004, an award recognizing a non-Native person who has made significant contributions to the Alaska Native community.
I understand the weight of responsibility being a representative of the Native organizations, INCSA corporations, and tribes. I can't be all things to all people, and as you well know, there's great divergence both geographically and tribally relative to issues like bycatch. But I can be a listening ear.
Another Kodiak resident, salmon seiner Raymond May, has been appointed to fill the seat reserved for a salmon fisherman. May is a council member for the Native Village of Port Lyons and an enrolled member of the Native Village of Afognak. Other seats on the task force will represent a member of the general public, a charter operator, an individual with personal use or sport fishing interests, people involved in the crab and halibut industries, and a coastal mayor. The task force also has seats designated for a trawl industry representative and a representative from a community group that receives a share of Bering Sea trawl catch for economic development in western Alaska. Alakanux Ragnar Alstrom, the executive director of the Yukon Delta Fisheries Development Association, will hold the community group seat on the task force. The executive director of trawler group the At Sea Processors Association, Stephanie Madsen, will hold the seat designated for her industry. Juneau-based Madsen previously served as the chair of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council. Two cabinet officials with the Dunleavy administration, the commissioners of Fish and Game and Commerce, will also be voting members on the task force. Legislative leaders will nominate two lawmakers to sit in non-voting seats. Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang told KSTK in November that the task force will meet on a monthly basis until late this year, when it will submit a report with recommendations to state and federal policymakers. The task force's first meeting is scheduled for January 28th and will be open to the public via video conference. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.